Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern-day Asian-American woman. My name is Helen.
I'm Janet. And I'm Mel. Do you ladies remember celebrating Chinese holidays with your families? I remember as a kid, I would go to a bunch of these family gatherings, not knowing why we're having yet another Chinese dinner when I really wanted hometown buffet. I remember as a kid, we'd always go play at some family friend's house for dinner. Like, we didn't really go to, like, restaurants for these celebrations. And honestly, I didn't have any friends there, so I'd just be sitting there on the couch playing my Game Boy.
I wasn't sure if the first sentence was a rhetorical question, but I was going to answer you. Yes. Yeah, no, I remember that too. A lot of times you go to family friends' houses and then you just like play with the kids and you're just like, oh, I guess this is a holiday. Yeah. What are we celebrating? I don't know.
Right? Yeah, I guess my experience maybe was a little different because I didn't have a lot of other, like outside of my family, Chinese people around me growing up. And because I lived a little further away in Orange County, all we could do is gather for a meal and then we would just default to going to a restaurant. So I had a lot of, they would have the set menu of the Chinese cuisine. My parents would love the like finer dining of the like Chinese traditional banquet food. And for all the kids, we were like, we didn't understand, we couldn't appreciate it. We're like, we want McDonald's, and we want In-N-Out burger. So yeah, many memories of just like not like Chinese food again, that kind of,
Oh, I love banquet food. Like, give me all the banquet food.
I feel like we just don't have the fine palate to like appreciate, you know?
I feel like I'm a blend of you both because like I mentioned, like my family, for all these like traditions or like celebrations, is always like a friend's house. So it's just like you get the, it's not like, it's definitely more traditional, but that the banquet style, like my family didn't go out as much because they wanted to quote unquote save money.
This is like a treat.
But then I enjoy like the jellyfish salad and stuff. But then when the boiled chicken came out with the head, I would freak out.
Yeah.
So I kind of never like went around and played with your cousins and try to make them eat it.
Oh my God. No, my grandma, she's such a, she literally took the head. She knows I was afraid. She'll put it in my face.
That was a thing. That was a thing that you do at Chinese banquets, y'all. For anyone who hasn't been to a Chinese banquet, painting the picture for you. Well, you know, as we get older, I have noticed that within myself and even within our friends, like even amongst you two, you know, there is this genuine interest in these traditions that we used to not think twice about, especially when it was related to our, you know, just like our moms forcing us to drink a bowl of soup with random herbally things or going to all of these family gatherings that just seemed like a waste of time at the time. But as we think about the nature of these traditions and celebrations, we start to dig deeper into the root of why we celebrate them, what the deeper meaning or purpose is, especially now as we begin to build our own families and think about how we want to celebrate with our children.
Yeah, and it being about mid-September right now, one of the bigger Chinese and Asian celebrations happens around this time of year, the Mid-Autumn Festival, also known as the Moon Festival or the Mooncake Festival. And this holiday is actually the second most important holiday after Chinese or Lunar New Year, and also known as the Chinese or Asian Thanksgiving. And it dates back all the way to 3,000 years ago. Damn, that's a long time. Mm-hmm. When China's emperor would worship the moon for bountiful harvest. Now, I don't know why I never thought about this, because we would have mooncakes, but I was always just associating it with this, like, oh, this is like a Chinese thing that we do. And mm-hmm. I didn't think much more about it. But especially now, in my current like interest in more like self awareness and spirituality practices, there is a lot of like taking it back to nature and, you know, certain cycles, and the moon is a really big thing. And I was like, wow, I feel really proud and also just very deeply intrigued with my culture that this is something that we do celebrate. And mm-hmm. so I had a lot of fun doing research for this episode.
Yeah.
And we hope that you listeners will learn a couple of things and feel more closely tied with your cultural traditional yeah. celebrations.
Yeah. I want to add that this actually makes total sense for Janet, because like she's been posting a lot like, it's a full moon tonight, or the new moon represents this.
Yeah.
But it's nice
yeah.
to have it kind of tied to something
yeah,
close
like,
to your culture.
Yeah. And things growing up where like, I feel like I actually can talk to my parents about cycles of the moon and stuff, and they wouldn't necessarily look at me like I'm crazy. anyway, yeah. In Mandarin, the Mid-Autumn Festival is pronounced Zhongqiu Jie.
And in Taiwanese, it's Chun Yi.
And in Taiwanese, I have a recording for my mom. One second.
Taiwanese speaking is Dongqiu Jie. Dongqiu Jie.
And this holiday is also celebrated in other cultures in Asia. Like in Korea, they have Chuseok. And in Japan, they have Tsukimi. And also they have Mid-Autumn Tet in Vietnam and the Water and Moon Festival in Cambodia.
Yes, and part of the celebrations during this moon festival include burning incense in reverence to deities, including Chang'e, who is the goddess of the moon, dragon and lion dance performances, lighting and carrying of lanterns, sometimes writing riddles on them, and having other people guess the answers of the riddles.
Ooh, these sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love Chang'e.
Yeah. Oh, you love Over the Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ladies have any memories of celebrating the Mid-Autumn Moon Festival?
Yeah. So when I was much younger, like elementary school years, I remember on my mom's side of the family, my grandmother and my grandfather actually were, they would celebrate really extensively. I remember going to their house like for the full day, and my grandma would have like these formal portraits up of our ancestors, like her parents who have passed, like anyone who's passed, right? So like great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents. And they would have them, they essentially create an altar with photographs of your ancestors. And then along the altar, you have various incense and plates of fruit. And then we would go in order from like, I don't remember if it was youngest to oldest or oldest to youngest, but every grouping of family would kneel down, and then you would bye-bye, and then you kind of pay respects, and then with the incense, and then you put the incense in the holder. And then my grandma would cook these elaborate meals. And there's like key foods that they always would have. So there was always a lot of like chestnuts and walnuts and like mushrooms. And so I was doing a little bit of research on this, and supposedly the duck, why you eat duck on Mid-Autumn Festival is because there's an old folk tale that's passed down for centuries of people coming together to overturn a corrupt ruler in China, and his name sounded like duck in the local dialect. So when you eat duck, it's kind of a way to get rid of your oppressor.
Oh.
And then also
eating him and shitting him out.
Yeah.
Dang.
I actually love like a lot of Chinese traditions, they do a lot of wordplay.
Yeah.
Like with the dishes and stuff.
Yeah, especially during Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but not only is it based on the wordplay and the history, but duck also, for very practical reasons, eating duck in the fall has a lot of health benefits, according to traditional Chinese medicine, because duck is nourishing to the body, and it helps to fight the dryness of fall and winter time. Like a really popular duck dish is duck with taro soup. Thank you to the Walks of Life blog for informing me of that. Also, when I was talking about the kind of like different plates of fruit they would put out, I do have a very specific memory of a lot of persimmons and also pomelos.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you guys, pomelos are like those kind of like grapefruit-like fruits.
Mm.
And pomelo, once again, for wordplay, it sounds like, so in Mandarin, it's youzi, sounds like the phrasing, bless and protect the children and descendants. So it's a time where you really are like trying to connect and pay respects to your ancestors and then also bless the current existing family that is on Earth right now. So I remember doing that when I was much younger, but then as I got older and then my grandfather passed and my grandma got older, we no longer would gather so elaborately. And then the celebrations became more just with my nuclear family, like with my mom, my dad, my sister. But even then, I have a very distinct memory, and this is before Over the Moon came out as a movie, and I didn't have the concept of like the name of the princess. I just remember my dad, when I was like maybe 5 or 6, holding me in his arms, and like we were out in the backyard looking out at the moon, and he was pointing up and he's like, oh, do you see those shadows? Well, those shadows are actually a moon princess and her rabbit. And I was like, what? You know, but as a kid, you're like, oh my God. Because like you can point out something, you're like, I see shadows. And like, really? There's like a person on the moon and there's this animal? So I have that really fond memory with my father. And then just ongoing after, you know, going into like high school and starting to work, I would just come home and Mel kind of became that description of, we're having dinner again with everyone. Like, what are we celebrating this time? And then throw in some mooncakes in there. Okay, what are we eating mooncakes for again for? How many times a year do we do this? So, but yeah, when I had to think back, like from childhood, we did a lot of very deep celebrations that I would like to carry parts through for my family growing up.
Oh, I love that, Janet. Thank you for sharing with us. I think I had very similar experiences too. Two things I wanted to mention. When I look at the moon now, I still look at the shadows and I still think about the princess and the bunny.
I think my sister does too. I think because my dad told us that, now we always think of that.
And also when you say bye-bye, I think that's cute. It's like you're saying it twice. It's like a very, isn't it just bye? Like you just,
oh, is it? I don't know. And whenever we would do it, they would
you double it too.
It's double it.
I say it too.
I don't know if it
I didn't know if that was like a more like
a childish way
and then you just grew up with it. But yeah, I usually say like bye scene and you bye like 3 times. But it's, I was like, oh, Janet, you cute. Bye.
Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
I'll be honest. So when I was prepping for this episode, I had to call my mom and I said, I asked her, did we ever celebrate Mid-Autumn Moon Festival? And she's like, actually, not really. So I was like, oh, no wonder. Because I was like, I don't remember celebrating this holiday. And if it did, it definitely got blended with all the family gatherings we'd have. Like whether it's like a hot pot one weekend or like, I don't know, being forced to like, oh, I had to go. So I wasn't sure what holidays were what. But I do remember as a kid, my mom's friends would, or my great aunties, or the older aunties in my family would drop off mooncakes at the house. And to be honest, I think my family, we didn't really eat mooncakes as much. So I just remember like, oh, another Chinese pastry. So everything felt like, oh, another dinner. Oh, another drop of a food, you know? And as we're talking about this episode, it makes me realize that, you know, when I have a kid and we start, you know, celebrating these holidays, I want to explain to our children, like, why we're having these type of dinners versus like, oh, we're just going over to Auntie Helen's house. But why? Oh, to eat? But it's like, no, it's because we're doing this. So kind of give them more context. So like when they're older, they're not like, wait, why are we doing that? Like being confused. So, yes.
I think growing up, I felt the same way, too. that I was like, Mom, Dad, like, why didn't they explain it to me? But they did. I just didn't listen.
I was on my Game Boy, probably.
Yeah. I was like, I don't care, you know? Yeah. But now we care, now that we're older. For me, I guess my experience is closer to Janet's. Aside from Lunar New Year, I think this is the second biggest Chinese holiday for me and my family. And as we mentioned, you know, Mid-Autumn Moon Festival is considered the harvest festival. So similar to Janet, during this time, fruits, vegetables, grains, they were harvested and the food was like most abundant during this time. So this is why we celebrate it. But my family and I, every year, ever since I was a kid, we would go to the grocery store and we would buy all of these food offerings like mooncakes, a lot of fruit. Mm-hmm. So also pomelos, which, by the way, I noticed that Whole Foods did not sell pomelos until Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year, and they had them there. And I was like, okay, good job, Whole Foods. You're catching on, But we would get pomelos, oranges, bananas, apples, and other fruits. And we'd also buy small taro. So similar to you, the soup, right? Yeah. Which is, for us, we ate it boiled, and then we would peel off the skin and dip it in soy sauce. It was very good.
Oh.
And then we would also get these black chestnut-like things, which I also looked up because I was like, I don't know what those are called. I've never seen it in an Americanized grocery store. And they're called water caltrops, C-A-L-T-R-O-P-S. And they resemble black buffalo horns. But I guess, like, with the taro, supposedly, and maybe this is like an old folklore, but the first food discovered at the time of human creation was discovered in the middle of the night in the moonlight, and it was taro. Based on this story, that is why people eat taro during this time.
Oh, wow.
That's one side. I'm sure that's one side of why people eat taro, and there's probably other sides where it's like wordplay and things like that. But with all of this, like, my family and I, ever since I was a kid, we would place these as offerings on either our windowsill or on our balcony outside if it's like decent weather. We would also light incense and bai xin, and we would just, or bye-bye, and we would just sit and chill and sort of just like be present with our family. And the moon is so round and so beautiful on this day. It is the biggest, right?
Yeah, of supposed the whole to be the biggest year. Of the whole year.
Yeah, so we would just kind of enjoy each other's company. But I do remember during that time, I was like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Like, why do I need to buy a scene? Who am I buying scene to? Like, who's this deity? Who's Chang'e? Who's this moon goddess? But yeah, similarly to Mel too, like buying moon cakes, that was a huge thing. My mom would always spend a ton of money because these moon cakes are not cheap. Like the gift boxes, the nicer ones, are not cheap. So she would buy a bunch of those, give them to our family members, and we would get a lot back. And that's supposed to represent, you know, best wishes for family reunion and where we are now. And separate from that, we would also go into Boston's Chinatown with my grandparents and all of my family members. And I'm curious if this, like, happened in SF or in OC, if there were, like, celebrations in more local Chinese communities. But it'd be a really lively celebration. There would be, like, lion dancing, firecrackers, a stage for shows and people playing their erhu and other, like, musical instruments, showing off their talents. But there'd be these little stands with people selling, like, plants and clothes and other trinkets and goodies and turtles. So my turtle that I had for almost 20 years that I named Dummy was from my 8th grade boyfriend. I mentioned this before on the podcast. But he bought – yeah, Dummy, because he couldn't swim. But Dummy was bought at one of these Mid-Autumn Moon Festivals.
Aww.
And I kept it for 20 years, and it was alive for 20 years, which is just crazy. But, you know, as we got older, we also had August Moon or Mid-Autumn Moon Festival volleyball tournaments.
Ooh. Oh.
And there would be teams from New York and D.C. that would come up to play in them. So in high school and beyond, volleyball was like a huge thing that surrounded this holiday for me. And it was so fun because all of Chinatown would be out. And Boston Chinatown is like very small. So we played in this park called the Reggie Wong Park, which I think the name might have changed. But we would play there, and all of these like old Asian grandpas who would always have their like white tanks lifted above their bellies because it was so hot, they would be watching us and they would be cheering us on and telling us to like jump higher, you know, get lower and things like that. So we'd always have a huge audience around us. And it was just such a good time. And after the tournament, we would just walk around Chinatown with the festivities and hang out with our friends and get dim sum, buy some turtles, I don't know. But it was just like very, very good memories around Mid-Autumn Moon Festival or August Moon Festival, and celebrating with like family first growing up and then more so friends afterwards.
That sounds so much fun.
Yeah. I think my memories, I just had such a strong, like, those traditions growing up with my grandparents. But I think once they left, like, I didn't grow up with a lot of like other outside of my family, and so I think these traditions didn't quite carry through into my like younger and older adulthood. But as I'm hearing all the stuff that you're saying, I'm sure some places in LA and OC had small communities gathering like that, and it just makes me think, like, when I have my own family, I do want to, like, seek out more of those, like, for my kids.
Okay, time out. This is happening soon. We should totally go to LA's Chinatown and see what's happening on this day.
Yeah. Actually, let's do, 21st. Oh, she's in, we can phone you in.
Yeah, I'll be out of town, but this sounds like fun. I think, like, as you're describing, I'm like, there's, like, faint memories. I know going to Chinatown, my family, but a lot of these traditions, I remember, like, I buy it a lot, too, and do food offerings, like, in Taiwan, because my great-grandparents would always do it. But I just didn't know why. Like, I didn't know. Yeah. I blended the holidays together because I knew Chinese New Year was a big thing. But then I didn't really, these other, like, mini, or the other holidays, you know, dispersed throughout the year, I just wasn't really, like, informed, or maybe I wasn't listening, you know? But I also wonder, it's because, like, my mom also came to the U.S. when she was 14. So she didn't really do these traditions growing up. So when I asked her, why are we praying? She goes, oh, it's for our ancestors. It's always like, the ancestors are like, she has kind of a light idea, but it's also hard when your parent is also, doesn't really understand nutrition as well.
Right.
So like now you're talking, I was like, oh, I want to learn this and like pass this on to my kids. It's okay, we'll just throw our kids to Auntie Helen.
You can you can create your own traditions. I think that's pretty cool too. Like for your kids and like really make them understand it so that they can pass your traditions. Mel is like the top notch grandmommy that like set the tradition for your family going forward.
I'm watching him make something up, like, oh, we have to eat like gummy bears. Yeah. I'm like, it's like, what are you doing? I was an emperor from 3 years ago, or make something up. No, but in reality, I think I love hearing about your both your experiences, like, you know, celebrating the, you know, the moon, the Mid-Autumn Festival, because I think I'm like, I'm gonna throw my kids to you both and be like, all right, learn from the aunties, because mom's gonna learn too. So give you guys some context. In Chinese culture, a round shape symbolizes completeness and reunion. So eating things like mooncakes and round fruits during this week of festivity signifies completeness and unity. So when we eat mooncakes, it symbolizes family reunions, prosperity and reunion for the whole family, and also a spiritual feeling expressing love and best wishes. And there are a bunch of amazing flavors for the mooncakes, from like, you know, red bean paste, which is a fan favorite, to ice cream, cream cheese, to seafood. So there's a bunch of different flavors to try.
What?
I know. I'm surprised.
I mean, I think the more traditional ones are like the red bean paste, lotus seed paste. I think you have some like fruit-filled ones like pineapple, but even that's a little bit more like pop culture, like fusion, modernized. And then probably even more modernized, people are doing things like ice cream and cream cheese, and probably getting, I think traditionally there are some savory ones. So like five kernel and roast pork. I do remember that oftentimes there were savory items within the sweet. But more popularly, I think that it's like a sweet dessert item.
So what is your favorite mooncake flavor?
For me, I would say the red bean paste, or the lotus seed paste ones are okay. Those are the basic ones, I think, are my favorite. But I usually like the ones that have a gigantic ass egg on the inside. Even though that like crumbly salted duck egg is so high in cholesterol, it is so delicious. So delicious, and definitely my favorite. Every time I cut it, I'm like, let me cut a bigger sliver. Because you know how it's like usually not centered? It's like on one side of the cake. It's not always perfectly centered.
It's intended to be this, like, usually it's like really sweet on the out. So for anyone who's not tried a mooncake, the outside is this kind of like Swedish bread, like,
yeah, it's like a crust, like the golden brown crust, and it's always decorated with these imprints of the symbols of the festival. So that little crust is perfection. It's so good. And then inside of that, that's the red bean paste or the lotus seed paste. And then in the middle of all of that is a salted duck egg. And yes, usually it's like off to the side a little bit. So I always take the piece that's off to the side a little bit. That's more of the egg. That makes me happy.
So when I was growing up, I actually avoided the duck egg because to me, I think as a kid, I like the sweetness. So my favorite actually is lotus seed. I'm a big red bean fan, but the lotus seed is even more sweet. And it almost reminds me of like a caramel flavor. That was my favorite growing up. And then red bean. And a lot of the ones that I had actually were the smaller mooncakes that didn't have the duck egg, because those ones were like a little bit more like fancy. And what we would usually cut them into like, I think like fourths or eighths. Mm-hmm. So then everyone could try all the different flavors. Yeah. So when I was little, the duck egg, because it has that saltiness, I didn't like it. And then as I got older, I appreciated it. And now, like, probably my favorite would be a lotus seed with the duck egg in the middle to get that savory and that sweet.
Yeah. Mm. I will share a mooncake with you then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about you, Miss Mel?
To be honest, I don't have a distinct memory of eating mooncakes at all growing up.
Have you tried?
I did, but I think maybe just the palate of my family. Like, my mom and I both gravitate towards, like, wife cakes.
Oh, yeah.
And pineapple cakes. But yeah. I don't know if that's part of this holiday.
Usually that's for weddings, like local band. So it's like wife cakes. Yeah, wife cakes. We had that during our tea ceremony.
Oh, yeah. For me, that's like, I don't know. But I remember we used to go to, like, Shanky Bakery or those Asian bakeries. They'd be selling moon cakes and, like, the pastries and pineapple cakes. We would always, even though it's a holiday, we just always buy the other pastries. I think it's just growing up in my family. Maybe it's the flavor.
It's also probably really bad for you. Like, you shouldn't eat a whole mooncake. That's why we cut it into, like, eighths and you eat one piece.
Oh, that's I didn't know that.
It's very rich.
It's very super rich. It's super dense. Yeah.
Yeah. So I honestly, to be honest, I don't have a favorite flavor. And I will say that with red bean, the red bean paste flavor, like, I like red bean, but I don't think I love it. So I think that's why, like, I do like the wife cakes the most, like the mochi.
Yeah, those ones are good.
Sweet. So I think with this holiday, I feel like it's kind of in a weird way, like, even from the moon cakes, it's like a little foreign to me. So I don't have memories actually eating moon cakes a lot, or it's just not a big part of my family.
Well, I'm excited for you to try them this year then, like, kind of as like a, like, to discover kind of what your flavors are. Because I wonder if you would like the savory ones.
Maybe. But the lotus seed, I think as you're talking, I Googled it. I was like, oh, why does this sound familiar? I was like, I think I actually had more of the lotus seed paste than the red bean paste. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember. So, you know, maybe this year we could try. I hope I like the, like, traditional flavors versus, like, oh, I want the ice cream. Yeah. I was like, please. I mean,
there's nothing wrong with, you know, having the kind of modernized versions.
That's true. Do you guys have a least favorite that I could avoid?
Yeah, my least favorite, and it's funny because the outside always looks the same between the five kernel and roast pork and the red bean paste and the lotus seed paste with the brown crust. And every time I cut into a five kernel and roast pork one, I'm like, damn it, I don't want this one. I am not a fan of that one at all. I don't like the savory taste of it.
Yeah.
But I also feel like I'm kind of like a mooncake purist. So other than, like, these top three that we're talking about, we have, like, pictures right now of what the other ones are, like the chocolate ones, snow skin, fruit and vegetable. I'm just like, I don't see all those as, like, real mooncakes. They're just like round cakes. Yeah.
Ultra dessert items. Yeah. Actually, now that you asked that question, I forgot there was a third flavor that I really liked, and that was date.
Oh,
I don't know if you had that. It's called tawny. It's the sweetest one.
Okay.
So, and it looks like red bean because dates are dark. Mm-hmm. But if you can imagine date paste, like, I know that it's, like, popular now, they do date jam, but date paste is even more concentrated. So it was, like, the sweetest one that you could get. And then second sweetest was lotus seed paste. And then third sweetest was red bean paste. So I loved, like, super sweet when I was younger. And least favorite, I think, I don't know that I haven't really tried much of the savory, so I think probably I err towards also the more traditional, the date, lotus seed, red bean.
Let's give Mel a seafood one.
I'm gonna try it.
I've never tried a seafood one.
Heard of that one.
I feel like we wouldn't know if we went to a store, we're like, is this a seafood one? We can't even tell.
Hi, ABGs and ABBs. It's Janet here, checking in to see if you've had your annual physical yet. Many of you tell us that you feel as if we are your big sisters, so this is me playing that annoying big sister role of making sure that you are on top of your health. If you don't know where to start, you can download the free ZocDoc app. ZocDoc is one of the easiest ways to find a great doctor, and you can even book an appointment directly in the app. Here's how it works. You type in which type of doctor you're looking for, whether that's a primary care physician, a dentist, a dermatologist, psychiatrist, eye doctor, whatever it may be. Add in your location, your insurance, and your desired appointment date. ZocDoc then returns profiles of doctors that match your needs. Their doctor profiles are clutch and one of my favorite parts of using ZocDoc. It's super detailed with a photo of the doctor, their bio, ratings which detail the average wait time, their bedside manner, and verified patient reviews. You can even book an appointment directly in the app. ZocDoc makes healthcare easy. Now is the time to prioritize your health. Go to ZocDoc.com/ABG and download the ZocDoc app to sign up for free and book a top-rated doctor. Many are available as soon as today. That's ZocDoc. doc.com/abg. So another thing about this holiday that I didn't know until I did research on it was that traditionally the Mid-Autumn Festival is also an occasion to celebrate marriages. And oftentimes, if you think about the cycle of the moon, not only does it have to do with harvest, but it also has to do with the woman's like menstrual cycle. So oftentimes, girls would pray to the moon deity, Chang'e, to help fulfill their romantic wishes. And in some parts of China, dances are held for young men and women to find partners. So, I don't know, Miss Mel, have you...
Y'all gonna be
knowing
dancing?
This new tradition, maybe we can go to Chinatown and see if anyone's hosting any of these, traditions of dances trying to pair up some peoples.
I mean, wasn't that not doing that at the clubs every day?
every day is Mid-Autumn Food Festival.
Yeah, at the club.
Wait, I have a question. You said this also is in relation to your period cycle, menstrual cycle. How's it relate to marriage?
So, that's a good question. Sorry, I kind of blended those together. So to be more clear, it's a choice occasion to celebrate. So the moon and its cycles not only relate to harvest, but it relates to the woman's body in terms of fertility.
Okay.
So sometimes they'll celebrate fertility if you're already married and you're wanting to have a child.
Oh, got it.
And then other times, if you're single, it's also relating to wanting to find a partner. So all of this stuff is around like finding a union, bearing children, carrying on, that kind of a thing, I didn't think about, but I was like, yeah, then there's like for every age or something appropriate, whether you're having kids or you're trying to find a partner.
That's true.
Or you're just celebrating your period, I guess. I don't...
That's true.
That makes sense, because I think the story of Chang'e is that she had a husband who was an archer. And, okay, let me try and tell the story. And there were 10 sons, not daughter sons, but moon sons.
Moon sons.
And the archer shot down 9 of the 10 sons because it was so hot that none of the fruits or vegetables were harvesting couldn't eat. So he shot them down, and as a gift, someone gifted him an elixir of immortality. And Chang'e either accidentally took it from him and drank it, or sneakily took it from him and drank it. There are different versions of that story, but she drank it and then she flew to the moon. And I think he was like really upset at her. And over time, though, he would look up and miss her. And so it's kind of like a love story. It's a weird love story, but she got stuck on the moon and he didn't have any of the elixir left to go to see her. So every year until he died, he would put out these harvests and these the things that we do now with the pomelos and the mooncakes and things like that to buy scene to her, I guess.
Try to get her to come back.
Yes. That's one version of the story, but it is rooted in somewhat of a love story. So it does kind of also make sense with the, with the
celebrating unions, trying to get people to come together.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Mm. That's a beautiful story.
It's kind of fucked up, but yeah.
But I think it's cool to understand these folklores.
Yeah.
Because I didn't grow up with hearing about a bunch of these stories.
Yeah.
I only know the Little Red Riding Hood,
The Little Red Riding Hood.
Like the American
stuff. Over the moon. It's what happens in the moon?
Yeah.
All right, so it's this Mid-Autumn Festival, you'll see me in Chinatown with some mooncakes, dancing, trying to find my man. So I hope I see some of you listeners there as well. But I really enjoyed this episode because I think, as someone that didn't really celebrate this holiday as much as my family, I got to learn so much about the traditions and the cultural significance through you both and the facts Janet pulled. So I am really excited to be able to, I'm really excited to celebrate this holiday moving forward with you both and our friends and with my family. So thank you so much for sharing. And I hope you all also took away something from this episode as well.
Join us for the next episode where we continue talking about the Mid-Autumn Moon Festival, but this time we dig deeper into the meaning behind the holiday, some of the concepts around gathering, Thanksgiving, prayer, and the moon and concepts of renewal and rejuvenation.
Y'all, it sounds a little woo-woo, but trust me, it's a good episode.
It's a good episode. You're going to want to catch it.
Yes.
Stay tuned.
Tune in next week.
If you don't already, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with your friends. You can also support us through monthly donations at anchor.fm/asianbossgirl/support or get some merch at asianbossgirl.myshopify.com.
If you resonated with today's episode, let us know in the comments of our IG post. And if you'd like to put faces to our names, you can find us on YouTube, where we share vlogs, an audience Q&A segment called Dear ABG, and much more. Our handle on both platforms is @AsianBossGirl.
And we just have two shout-outs for today, from Jonathan to Nicole in Melbourne. Happy one-year anniversary. Oh, and thank you for making me happy. Jonathan says he loves you, Nicole. So sweet. From Sreya to Jin in New Jersey, Sreya says, thank you so much for letting me stay with you when I was visiting. You are the best. Love you. Oh, so cute. Thanks, everyone, for spreading the love on our shout-outs.
If you'd like to send a shout out to a friend, check out our link tree and our link in bio and click on shout outs. And last but not least, thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all her magic on our episodes, including this one.
And with that, we'll catch you all on the next episode.
Bye. Bye.